Irving, followed by Clay Barks.
Good morning. I'm Jim Irving from Paso Robles. I reside in a rural area 20 miles west of town. I actually did not request to speak, but thank you for allowing me to. I have a couple of questions and
agenda item 9.
Regarding item 9, but as you can see, I said I don't need to speak. But anyway, thank you. Appreciate that. Barry Toll, actually, I wish I could have deferred some time to him. I think he covered a lot of my the concerns about the time implementation. I, too, request that this resolution be continued. I agree very heartily with the idea of additional public workshops. I've been very involved with the statewide issues regarding 885. And feel that even in that case, there still has not been enough public discussion. Specifically with regard to my question, I'm concerned about this, the uncertainty of the issue of requiring five-year pumping for either new or existing systems. I think it's pretty clear that there's a lot of misunderstanding or even not even clarification within the resolution, and that everyone will eventually be required to a five-year standard. I'm also concerned with issues on for ranchers on large properties. In my case, my septic system is at least 3/4 mile away from my well. I don't see how there is any possible connection between the two. Why should I be required to monitor both of those in the future? And finally, I am a realtor, and the concerns about realtors having to disclose this, I think realtors should be brought, the real estate community should be brought into the discussion process to help you formulate disclosure requirements. And I think that's an extremely important element that also calls for further continuation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Irving, question for you. Why do you think that... You've got an existing system.
Yes.
Okay. How do you see these proposed changes affecting?
In AB 885, there are regulations that will require proposed regulations. In one of the draft, I see you shaking the head, but I've read the drafts too.
My head's tilted.
No,
the
gentleman next to you is shaking there.
Okay.
But there are regulations that will require monitoring of groundwater wells and requirement of the monitoring of the septic system. And there's no consideration for the distance between the two or on acreage size.
Okay,
that I've
but
seen.
As you said, those are for the regulations, not the basin plan.
That is true, but I see that one is connected with the other. I think you can't separate the two. The regulations are coming. I see the county here has already, and people anticipating 885 when 885 is not yet fully determined, and I'm feeling that a lot of what I see in the resolution in the basin plan is also in anticipation of regulations that aren't yet in effect.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
Okay.
Yes, Dr. Hunter.
This is a Sorrell. Sorrell, you stated that you anticipate that our basin plan amendment will probably be more strict than AB 885, but we will have to change any elements of it that where AB 885 exceeds our basin plan, correct? So the example that just came up, we would make those consistent. Our basin plan would be consistent with AB 885 in every way.
My understanding is that we cannot conflict with AB 885. I don't think there's any requirement for us to incorporate that into our basin plan. The basin plan is more protective than the drafts that we've seen so far, but they are just drafts. There's been quite a number of them. Of the 885 regulations, so we're not really sure where that will stand. But the answer to your question is our basin plan can't conflict with it.
I'd like to add to that. It's typical of the State Water Board when they adopt a regulation or a policy to state in that policy or regulation how it affects the regional board's existing policies. So they may say it replaces all existing regional board policies, or they may say regional boards conform your policies to anything more stringent in here or something like that. So it's just unclear how they'll handle that issue.
Mr. Shalcross?
Yeah. Since AB 885 has come up a lot, I just want to say a few things because some folks may not understand. This is a bill that's in the legislature currently. It may or may not ever pass. We've waited for changes for 10 years sometimes and waited and held off doing actions because it was going to come down the pike any minute now. So first of all, no one knows what AB 885 is going to look like in its final form. It currently is in the Senate Local Government Committee. If anyone wants to have input into what that bill is going to look like, the author has canceled the hearing that was set in that government committee. I'm assuming at some point it will be reheard, or the hearing will be reset. And so I encourage folks, if they want to have input into what AB 885 is going to look like, contact the author of the bill, contact your assembly member and senator, because it's not formed yet. It's not completed yet. It still has to go through the Senate. The Senate has to vote on it. Then it has to go back to the Assembly for concurrence.
Gary, I think we better maybe get something clarified. I think 885 passed a few years ago.
Yeah. Oh, is this? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the current 885.
Yeah.
Not the reg.
Yeah, and so where the original 885 was from Assemblywoman Hannah Beth Jackson, and so. But your comments about...
Erase all that.
It's in the regulation phase. They're developing regulations pursuant to the statute. Okay. All right. Clay Barks.
Yes.
And then Cynthia Coleman and then Gail McPherson.
Clay Barks, actually one of the few born and raised in this lovely country. I'm a contractor serving both San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. A couple of questions I have. If we're worried about water quality, I don't get the comment about no retrofitting. Santa Barbara County went through the process in 2000 of improving their groundwater. And what we did there was is we went in and started putting in risers and filters and improving the groundwater throughout the county. So if we're about improving groundwater, I'm wondering why no retrofitting. If I'm also wondering, Barry said 75 may be affected. That would not include repairs. I asked him. It would not include repairs. We do a huge. I am supported by repairs. I have two crews that's what they do. I would think we do 75 repairs a year, and I'm just one company. So the question would be is where do repairs fit in all that? And once we do a repair, are we now going to be pumping every 5 years? Moving on to the pumping every 5 years, we're now limited as a pumper. I have 5 pump trucks. We're limited as to the time of day we can go to Santa Maria already. We're limited as the amount of solid content that we can haul in. We're limited to almost everything with the city of Santa Maria. And last year had 2 phone calls saying, your next stop is Bakersfield or down south. So I am seriously concerned about overloading what we currently have. Monitoring, you can talk about monitoring all day long, but the reality of it is the monitoring is going to be by the homeowner. When I go to pull a permit, the county is going to require me to prove that what I'm doing is not going to ruin the groundwater, and so it's going to be the contractor, me, who gets to figure out some way to make you guys happy. So keep that in mind. There we go. I wish Santa Maria Treatment Plant was here, actually.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Cynthia Coleman?
Hello. I was going to speak during the general public comment, but
now.
This is applicable,
I
think, to this item. My name is Cynthia Tomsley Coleman. You've never met me. I've never been here. None of you have ever visited my beautiful home, which I own and live in with my many pets. I worked in music most of my life, and now produce video, documentary video for public access television. My work is in the Smithsonian. You randomly selected me to unanimously receive from you CDO number 1002. You've threatened me personally with over $39 million in fines if I don't comply with CDO number 1002. Knowing all the time there was no way for me to comply with CDO number 1002, aside from not using the water in my home. It's not a pleasant position to put me in, is it? Except for the reclamator. Now the reclamator has changed everything. I'm getting one installed in a couple of weeks. It was my second alternative system for compliance that I submitted, thanks to Gail McPherson's insistence that I do so. Harvey Packard wrote me back, refusing any of the financial and technical assistance which is required for me by law. I'm going to be compliant with CDO number 1002, with 8313, the basin plan, that you threatened to ruin my life if I didn't do what you say. Now I am going to do what you say. I am going to do what you threatened to ruin my life if I don't do. So now I'm going to do what you say. Now what are you going to do? You should think about it.
Thank you for your comments. Gail McPherson, Al Barrow, and then Piper Riley.
Good morning, Chairman Young, honorable board members. That seems like a little bit of a setup there. Certainly, anyone with alternative systems should put them forth to the board because that's part of this basin plan revision. I'm not going to probably take my whole 2 minutes, but who knows, maybe I will. I do want to incorporate by reference all of the comments from Barry Toll, the PERC issues in Napomo, Mr. Brown's septic receiving issues, and the realtor issues of Jim Irving. I'm very concerned that the workshop format and some of the things that have been suggested that a continuance would allow will be ignored. I really encourage that. I get lots of phone calls, lots of confusion. I direct them to the water board. Sorrel works doesn't work full time, I understand. And so I know that she's worked hard to get the answers out, but there's still so many questions and so much confusion. And your own board has lots of questions and confusion. And so how much more do the agencies have? And then how much more do the individuals who have never heard about this and did not hear about it before the end of the comment period? I would like to say that this goes hand in glove with the waivers. I was prepared to talk about the waivers because certainly existing systems will have to have waivers. Otherwise, they'll have to have waste discharge requirements to meet. And we really need to see how that all fits. And so I think that it's very important for you to continue this, look at it again. AB 885 sets minimum standards for the state. It does have to be consistent, and you do have to be consistent with some of the environmental findings. We're only one of three states that doesn't have statewide standards, as I understand it. And so I think it's very important to pull together a true stakeholders process, get the people involved in the rural areas as well as the urbanized areas, and get them on board so they can make this program successful. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Barrow?
I brought a CD. Could you please put that up? It's a letter from the environmental consultants from the state on the EIR for AB 885, and it essentially says that we are ready to come out with our draft very shortly. So please understand that after the draft, it only takes about 2 months to finalize this and go forward and make it into law. I think you're a little premature on this particular one. We would like to see what the draft comments were. This is a very erudite and expensive company, EDAW, who does that. There's 150,000 on-site systems in this area, Central Coast. They will require a 218 vote for the taxes to comply with state law. The State Water Board scoping said that there are a number of impacts. Your staff says there's no impacts. How could that be? How could that be? That's very misleading and confusing. If you have missing or misleading statements, you are coming under the legal thin ice of fraud. And I think you ought to be very cautious about this because you're impacting, it's cost could cost a lot of money. Todd Thompson said in the scoping that it would cost $30,000 at least for an on-site alternative system. So aside from that, AB 85 has been worked on for 7 years, many, many comments, many, many organizations, many, many concerns. I was a member of California On-Site Wastewater Association, attended many of those meetings, and there were 200 people at the meeting. I went to one, it was a whole week long. This is a very complex process. You really need to delay this until the DEIR comes out for state regulations. Building a septage plant, that's an impact. I'm sorry. 48 hours to repair a system. That is ridiculous. I don't know how anybody could possibly comply with that to get a pumper and to get a permit from the county. Santa Cruz County has an on-site system since 1995. They have shown no reduction in nitrogen. And this is what you're asking people to do, is pay all this money, go to all this expense, and not to have any improvement in groundwater? I'm sorry. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Barrow. Piper Riley, Keith Weimer, and then Joe Sparks.
Good morning, Board. Piper Riley, Los Osos. I'm here to clarify my letter, which was written in haste due to the late and limited notice of the basin plan revision. Less than a year after I purchased my home, which I did with a county-approved septic tank and a clean title, I received a letter from Harvey Packard stating that there was substantial evidence that I was polluting and was faced with potential fines of $36 million and rising. After months of circular talk with Mr. Packard regarding on-site and clean water, I asked him early this year in writing if there was going to be an update to the basin plan, to which Mr. Packard gave me no indication that there would be. Why the secrecy? Why was there such a lack of notice? A few small ads is grossly inadequate to notify so many people in so many counties that will affect so much. Lack of notice was one point. The second point was that this project should trigger CEQA. Simply changing the discharge to the basin will have a great effect on plant and animal life. In Los Osos, we found out that the more frequent pumping of septics would adversely affect air quality, but on Sorrel Marx's list, there are no adverse effects for these actions. The CEQA checklists for AB 885 show that there would be substantial effects to this criteria, and I would like to know why there is this discrepancy. Next, I stated in my letter that I would like to put in a reclamator. As retrofit ordinances and recycling programs are being mandated, this water harvest appliance should be part of these programs. Instead, Slo County and the Water Board continue to permit new septics to be built, this despite the fact that there is far superior technology out there. And let's not forget the $36 million fines that are on each one of our heads in the Los Osos Prohibition Zone for having these legally permitted septics. Advanced on-site systems like Tom Murphy's reclamator and Steve Page's urine sequestering systems are ideal candidates for treating our waste and improving water quality. There are also systems like the sludge hammer and the bear, which actually eat solids. This basin plan update potentially will make it so expensive and difficult to run on-sites or clusters that the only option will be left to do whatever centralized system the county comes up with, no matter how expensive or environmentally unsound it may be. And to finish, please stop this update. It impedes the ability to improve water quality and is harmful to the environment and causes economic hardship to both the individual and counties at large.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Weimer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Honorable Board. As you know, I submitted a large packet of materials with many citations. I focused on whether the proposed changes would move the region toward a sustainable water supply and a sustainable future, and I concluded that they would move us away from that. I give several reasons, but I'll focus on one. Despite the legislature's making water recycling a priority for California, shown by many initiatives and reflected in water codes, the Port of Cologne Act, and the Basin Plan, this was not shown in the proposed changes, and in fact, the only reference to reuse was deleted. I'll read a finding from the 2002 Recycled Water Task Force white paper. This was Department of Water Resources, State Water Resource Control Board, and Department of Health Services. And I quote, "The orientation of both board and staff at regional boards is to stringently enforce regulations to minimize or eliminate discharge of pollutants. This orientation may become a liability when the same agency is expected to encourage water recycling." This quote explains the reason for 885 and the need for greater standardization, and it's the reason you must postpone this decision until the 885 ordinance process is complete or your board develops a thorough standardized ordinance with full expert and stakeholder input. Your proposed changes simply afford too much discretion to your board and regional staff. No matter how anyone feels about the reclamator, Mr. Briggs' response to people inquiring about it shows that he does not intend to allow any advanced on-site systems in prohibition zones, even though they can provide advanced treatment, cut water use almost in half, and recharge the aquifers. Further, the language is so vague that it allows your staff and board to impose overly burdensome requirements on step-stake and decentralized alternatives, even determining the outcome of the Los Osos wastewater project. I ask you to postpone this decision and help develop the 885 ordinance, or develop your own state-of-the-art ordinance that standardizes and promotes on-site recycling. Help us enter the 21st century. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Sparks? Followed by Chuck Cesena, then Alon Perlman.
I am Joe Sparks, Los Osos homeowner and director in the Los Osos Community Service District, not speaking on behalf of the district today. I am appreciative of the efforts of regional staff to improve water quality in the region with these resolutions. As a director, I also appreciate that the amendments are consistent with the development of a wastewater project for the Los Osos Prohibition Zone by the County of San Luis Obispo and a septic tank management plan for the properties within the LOCSD boundaries but outside the LOCSD Prohibition Zone. And I support the creation of a septic tank management plan for those properties. In regards to comments that were submitted by the LOCSD, the submittal did not provide a cohesive or constructive position for the district, in my opinion. And so I'm personally chagrined as I approve creation and submittal of a district letter without knowing what the body would state and that it would provide incomplete information. The district complaints about insufficient noticing to the district were off base. The complaints in the letter about a lack of science themselves lack substance of information and failed to provide a comprehensible scientific argument. I do support that prior work of the LOCSD to develop septic tank management plans will be used to achieve improved water quality in conjunction with the final approved amendments and resolution by your board. My concerns on public noticing and reviewing the public noticing, it is not clear from the staff reports that significant areas in Region 3 were sufficiently noticed. Particularly, the staff report does not address or list publications from the San Ynez River Basin and Salinas River Basin. I would have expected to see noticing as well in publications such as the Lompoc Record, the Santa Ynez Valley News, the Salinas Californian, communities in southern Monterey County, not just the coastal newspapers. I would hope staff would address that. Seeing the dearth of response from the Santa Ynez River Basin and Monterey County region of the Salinas River Basin in the staff report suggests that the resolution should be postponed until staff can assure the board that these regions have participated in the review of the resolution. And there's language barriers that exist in significant portions of Monterey County, which has not come as a surprise that you don't have responses. And it really stands out that no representative or individuals from Monterey County, Monterey City, Salinas, the Carmel Valley, and San Ynez Valley have responded to this item, similar to those from Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Cruz counties. And I'll close and say I do also have a concern of financing, and I hope your board supports and facilitates financing and funding with the state and state board. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Chuck Cesena, Alan Perlman, and then Lisa Schicker.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young and fellow board members. My name is Chuck Cesena. I am here representing the Los Osos Community Services District. First of all, I would like to say I support your goals, but not this process. It's moving too fast. As the last speaker alluded to, where was the notification or where's the response from people in other areas outside of San Luis Obispo? Was there enough notification? And that is my primary concern about notification, not what our agency received, is what the individuals who own septic tanks received. They should have had a postcard directing them where to get further information. You claim that the CEQA process has been taken care of. There was one scoping meeting in 2004, and then we went to a few agency meetings earlier this year. There should have been many scoping meetings all over your region, and a wider outreach, I think, to the individuals. And it is ironic that 885 triggers a CEQA analysis, but this doesn't. That's totally dumbfounding to me, because this whole process is to move us to 885 prior to its finalization. If that required a CEQA analysis. I don't understand how this could not. I think that's mainly what you need to do is the suggestions made by Dr. Hunter, more workshops, get more input. This needs a wider outreach. I guess the ultimate irony to me is that as on-site systems are improved to the point of providing tertiary treatment, regulations are being crafted to preclude their use, and that seems odd to me. I do support your goals, but I think that this process is just moving a little bit too quickly, and there needs to be a greater outreach, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. I just have a question of staff counsel. Perhaps you could explain at this juncture the differences between 885 and its CEQA requirements and the requirements for what we're doing with the Basin Plan Amendment.
Yes, I can.
Sure.
The 885 required the State Board to adopt regulations that apply across the entire state and are brand new regulations, and they held numerous scoping meetings and determined that they would, I believe, do a document that's equivalent to an environmental impact report. The project before you today is an update of existing regulations and changes to those that the staff determined those changes do not result in adverse impacts to the environment, and therefore the CEQA was complied with, and the CEQA document determined that there were no adverse impacts to the environment, and therefore the substitute environmental document makes that determination. So one is an update of an existing regulation. The other is a brand new regulation that applies across the entire state. So the scope is very different.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Perlman, did I have Ms. Schicker before you or after you? Okay.
That is the question that only you can answer.
Okay. Mr. Perlman, go ahead.
I was present in Sacramento, as a matter of fact, that was quite a while ago, as AB 885, this would have been, I do not recollect if that was as long as 3 years ago, but AB 885 was hanging up. It was hanging up because it was hanging up on the science, mm-hmm. and was hanging up on the issues of monitoring. I do have a background in regulatory affairs. I happen to be with the FDA. Clinical trials, but there are a lot of parallels. There are a lot of parallels also with the EPA actions, and as a government agency that interacts with the DMV, we all know that we all have to smog our vehicles, except those before 74, on a biannual basis. What you have done in this document is you've bypassed the science of AB 885. The way AB 885 could work would be to present approved systems that could be applied and chosen as appropriate for particular soils, for particular hydrological considerations. But what you've done right now is you're primarily exist and have turned yourself into an enforcement agency without the benefit of execution. You essentially made it the responsibilities of the counties and the individuals to comply with these essentially unachievable standards. This is jumping ahead of AB 885 to create its effects, but it cannot work this way because, as we know from the basin specific, the unique hydrological units have to be evaluated by pretty much by the people there, by the experts there. You're combining big and small scales. You also created a situation where it will not be possible for new alternative technologies to enter at a very time where those are very important and have to be considered. So looking at Los Osos, you're asking us to solve a 30-year problem with 60-year-old technology. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Schicker? Is she here? Lisa Schicker? Did she leave? She left. Okay. Roberta Fonzi? Followed by Lawson Schaller and then Beverly DeWitt Moylan. Go ahead. Ah. Okay.
Hi, Roberta Fonzi. I live in the city of Atascadero. I also chair the Atascadero Planning Commission, although I'm speaking as a private citizen. I have some concerns about the notification process. I try to follow the planning issues, as do planners and people involved in that process, and we were not informed of the changes until approximately 2 weeks ago when it came across our desk. It's a complex document. It's full of a lot of acronyms and wording that the public cannot easily grasp. It has abbreviations that are very familiar to you, I'm sure, but not to the normal layperson. It was a difficult document to get through when I got it. I'm concerned that we did not have time to give it adequate consideration. We'd like to have some input into this. I think public input is very essential to get public buy-in so that you have acceptance of whatever you do propose. I also have some concerns about changing the requirement to 2-acre minimums for second units which are affordable. Atascadero, for instance, has some rules and regulations regarding second units and would like to have this as an affordable product. We are on a public water system. We're not on private wells in Atascadero, and so there's no hard science that is out there showing why we need 2 acres rather than a 1-acre minimum, and I would like to see some attention and some hard science put into that. The nature of the document that I reviewed had a spirit of coercion to it that I found very disturbing because, for instance, the city of Atascadero has always worked very well with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Our area tends to have very few problems with septic maintenance and with other issues regarding septic and clean water, but the feeling was not one of collaboration. It was one rather of coercion, and I think we would appreciate having you work with the citizens rather than work and telling us what we need to do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Lawson Schaller.
Good afternoon, board and staff, fellow citizens. My name's Lawson Schaller. I would encourage you to delay and postpone any decisions you might make. There's been many valid reasons presented by previous speakers. I do think we need more input, public vetting, more encouragement of the public process. I think the idea of workshops is an excellent one. Public outreach where you can simplify and boil it down to some practical applications for those people that have on-site systems. I'd also just briefly like to see more language emphasizing water conservation. I think that message needs to come from all agencies. Also, more language emphasizing water reuse, gray water, stormwater implications. Also, more language to emphasize alternative systems, new technologies that are coming out. I think there's a lot of very valid applications there. The septage volume is a huge issue, the handling, the overload potential, the massive ramifications there, far-reaching impacts. I think that needs a very, very detailed study. Essentially, there's a lot of moving parts to consider here. There's a lot of options to consider. I just want to encourage you to take your time to be very thorough, try to come up with a complete, practical document. Again, please postpone your decision. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Beverly DeWitt Moylan, followed by William Moylan, Julie Tacker, and last speaker is Melandon Vandoff.
Good morning, board. I am CDOR3-20061041. California Water Code states in Section 1F, Environmental Justice, the state and regional board shall promote enforcement in a manner that ensures fair treatment of all people. Notice and opportunity to be heard go hand in hand. Meeting the letter of the law for notice is far different from meeting the spirit of the law to assure that all affected citizens are treated fairly and that they have a fair opportunity to become aware of your intentions and have a fair opportunity to address them. Water Code states that while your job is to protect water quality, your first obligation is to protect the people. I request clarification on why your staff avoids addressing Section 1F, Environmental Justice, in stating in your staff report for today that their charge is solely to protect water quality consistent with Water Code while failing to address concerns about the substantive effects of their actions on private citizens. Staff report for today also states that persons may comply in any lawful manner. No change recommended. My experience to date indicates otherwise. The Water Board has so far approved no method of compliance other than to vacate the premises or face unaffordable fines. Staff's solutions to ensuring water quality in Los Osos continue clearly to violate your own Water Code Section 1F, Environmental Justice, while to date creating no improvements in water quality. Finally, I request an explanation of staff's assertion that suggested revisions are not expected to result in economic disparity between communities. As a compliant CDO recipient, I have experienced considerable economic disparity between the majority of Los Osos homeowners and me, caused by the so-called fair, firm, and consistent regulation and enforcement engineered by your staff over the past 2.5 years. So I respectfully request that you postpone any action until your staff has a chance to look at the water code and devise a fair, constructive amendment to the basin plan. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Moylan?
Good morning, staff. My name is William Moylan. I live in Los Osos. And on addressing the issue of on-site wastewater treatments in your amended basin plan, I would like to state that the language appears vague and wide open to interpretation, primarily the interpretation of the Water Board. Also, personally, when I proposed installing an on-site system myself to a couple of the prosecution team members, I was personally told by Matt Thompson that I don't want to go that way. He said, you don't want to go that way, Bill. I said, well, what way is workable? And he wouldn't answer me. There actually isn't any on-site systems that you are willing to approve right now. And if you are, I would really like to see that the Water Board put these on-site systems that are available, technologically advanced, and produce clean water, such as the Reclamator and other systems like it, that are acceptable, not just for Los Osos, but for all of the other areas in the that are underneath the basin's plan. And I'd like to touch on the subject of environmental justice like my wife did. If there is really environmental justice, which, according to your own water code enforcement policy, says ensures the fair treatment of all people of all races, cultures, and income levels, including minority populations and low-income populations in the state. Well, if that's the case, how can you possibly expect all the people that live in your jurisdiction to come to this or at least be informed of it if you just put it in the newspapers, which you yourself have said is not a reliable source of information? So you should either say one thing and stick to it, or I guess my time is up, but it would be nice if you did notify everyone about this basin plan amendment change. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Julie Tacker, then last speaker is Mladen Bandol.
Good morning. I am Julie Tacker. I'm the Vice President of the Los Osos Community Services District. I am speaking on my own behalf this morning, and what I would like to encourage you to do, and I have heard other speakers say something similar, is to delay any actions today. Take this out on the road. Go on a road show. Go into the communities. Fill the rooms like they are here today. We could do this probably 3 times over in Los Osos, and have workshops and have interaction with the communities. I think the environmental impact has not been adequately addressed. I think I'd like to see a real analysis on the economic impacts, not only to the private properties, but to the administrative work that each agency that will then be looking over what you're asking them to do, the county, maybe trickle down into the services district at some point in the future. What does that cost each community to then enforce what you're asking for? I really would like more interaction. I think I really just want to reiterate that take it on the road. Get in those communities, get some buy-in from the people that will be affected by this, rather than this resistance. regulators seem to drive a hard line, and the public doesn't like that. They do like a little warm, fuzzy feeling, and they're not getting it today.
Thank you for your comments. Last speaker, Mladen Vandoff.
Yeah, hi, Mladen Vandoff, San Luis Obispo. I'm a professional designer of wastewater treatment systems, the alternative kind, and I do agree with this change in the basin plan, although I thought that if we were ever going to change and improve it, that instead of revamping or editing, we would start from fresh and go with new technology and with more public involvement using updated methods. And so I agree with the workshop ideas. I agree with using advanced technology that we know now. I also don't necessarily agree with the specific point about the 5 years. I think that if you're going to have an on-site management plan to, and you're going to have inspectors, that they can determine when that will happen. Some homeowners don't use quite as frequently. Some are more efficient systems, and that will reduce the impact. And then I guess my last point is that we had a pilot test going on for quite a while in Santa Cruz, and to do a detailed study of what that impact has been, the costs involved, the septic issues, and just look to see how that program was implemented there and before completely expanding. But yes, we can go ahead forward with this, but as we go, understand that we need to get more public involvement, and the workshopping ideas are great, as well as just taking careful steps to making sure this is done right. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, does any other member of the public who has not addressed us yet on this agenda item wish to do so before we close public comment? Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Briggs.